What has God been telling you to do? Do not put it off even a day. I know for myself, I'm so busy that if I put it off a day, at the age I am, I'm liable to forget what God has said. And at least if I remember, it won't have the fire to it that it did when he first spoke. And I might get a little lazy about it or answer him in my time and miss the moment. Don't procrastinate.
Welcome to Living in the Light with Ann Graham Lotz in this weekly study from God's Word looking at the life of Abraham. It's a message focusing on patient persistence, a choice that changes everything. Here's Ann.
There's some decisions you and I have to make in private, just between God and me. When I started Just Give Me Jesus Revivals, and I didn't exactly know what I was doing, but I had an idea of what it was going to take. And I made the decision in private because I knew God was calling me. And in part, he called me from Ezekiel chapter 10, that I was to take the fire that was in my heart and throw it out over a city that we might see his glory. And I knew I was going to do it. And after I'd made the decision, I was talking with someone whom I love, someone who I respect, whose counsel I appreciate. And this person looked right at me and said, "Ann, don't dare do that. If you step out and do something like that, you're going to destroy your credibility. You're going to destroy your ministry. You can't offer revivals in arenas that size free of charge. You have to charge. At least charge enough that you can cover your costs." The person said, "If you keep on doing that, you're just going to drag down and you're going to go into debt and it's just going to harm the name of God. You're going to bring shame to the kingdom of God." And I looked at that person whom I love and I said, "You know something? Your counsel is wise, and all the professionals have been telling me that, so I know it's true. But God has called me to offer Just Give Me Jesus free of charge." And I knew that from Jeremiah. He had spoken to me through a verse in Jeremiah. I knew I was to offer it free. And I knew when I was going to do it, I was risking failure. And I was risking my credibility, and I was risking my reputation and my image. But you know something? I would rather have risked failing than risk disobeying my Lord and missing what he had for me to do. And I just love to say, "I told you so." 5 years, 20 revivals, and we're hoping to break even this year, and I'll hear the numbers this week, but so far we have broken even. This year has been a huge challenge to us financially because of some of the international things and other things, but God has seen us through, and I'm not worried at all, and I feel like he's going to see us through. He's called me to it. He doesn't call you to something that he's not going to equip you for and enable you to do, and so you need to make the choice to obey him in private. And I know there's wisdom in the counsel of friends. The wisdom in the counsel of friends for me came after I made the decision, and I needed their counsel to help me do it and carry it out. But I wasn't going to get their counsel on the decision when God had spoken clearly to me. So Abraham made it privately. He made the choice peacefully. And I'm reading into this maybe, verse 3, when it says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up." And you know, I wonder, did God speak to him the afternoon before or the evening before? And then did Abraham go to sleep? And the next morning he got up after he'd slept all night? After God had said, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me." And Abraham went to sleep after being told that? I think so. Because once you've made the decision, the difficult thing can be in making the decision. Once the decision is made, there's peace in your heart. And I wrestled with the decision to leave Bible Study Fellowship because I just wanted to make sure that's what God was saying to me. But when he spoke to me through Deuteronomy, that was so clear, I couldn't miss it. And I made the decision, and then there was peace. And people say, "Ann, wasn't it the hardest decision you've ever made to walk away from a ministry that you'd built for 12 years? And I said, "No, it wasn't hard at all. Because I want to follow God. I've embraced the magnificent obsession. I want to know him and to make him known. And if he's walking out of the class as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to stay in it. I want to be with him. I'm not in ministry for ministry's sake. I'm in ministry to know God and to make him known." And I'm not meaning to slight the class, because the class has gone on and it's been a place where many, many women have found Christ and grown in Christ. But for me, that was no longer where he was, and I needed to leave. So the decision, in a sense, it wasn't an easy decision. Once God spoke clearly and I made the choice, then the rest was peaceful. And I had to work through some of the details, but there was peace in my heart. And Abraham made this choice privately, and he made it peacefully. And then we see him follow through in a commitment, because it's one thing to say, I'm going to leave BSF, or I'm going to set up Just Give Me Jesus, or it's one thing to say, I'm going to do whatever is on your mind. It's another thing, isn't it, to do it and to follow through and do it. And Abraham committed himself to obey promptly in verse 3 when he rose up early. And I think he rose up early before he had second thoughts. There was no hesitation. There was no second guessing. And he just immediately got up and began to follow through in obedience. He did not procrastinate. Now, what has God been telling you to do? Do not put it off even a day. I know for myself, I'm so busy that if I put it off a day, at the age I am, I'm liable to forget what God has said. And at least if I remember, it won't have the fire to it that it did when he first spoke. And I might get a little lazy about it or answer him in my time and miss the moment. Don't procrastinate. Had some friends earlier this year that called and asked me to come out to Phoenix to speak at an evangelistic gathering. They wanted to gather all their friends together and for me to present the gospel. I'd done it for them two other times, and they wanted me to come back a third time. And so I said I'd pray about it. I didn't think I would because of my schedule, but I said I'd pray about it. In prayer, when I was doing my three questions on Acts chapter 8, God spoke to me. When he pulled Philip out of the revival in Samaria, put him down on the desert road to share the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, I'm going to say clear, right? And he said, Anne, I want you to just take leave of the revival ministry, all these crowds and everything you're doing, and I want you to go literally to the desert in Arizona, and I want you to share the gospel with people who don't understand it. And so I knew I'd heard from him. I knew he had called me to do it. And I put off calling my friends back. And I put it off for several days because I was really busy, and I forgot to call them. And I bet it was 3 months later that came back to my mind. Anyway, it was a very bad moment for me to realize that I had procrastinated, and that had become disobedience. And when I tried to call them, I couldn't reach them because they're busy women, and they took off and couldn't get through to them. Finally had to assign that task to Helen, who chased them down, tracked them down, and God is merciful to sinners, isn't he? And they just arranged to have something they were hoping to have, I think, around this Thanksgiving. We're going to do it around Easter. And they adjusted their time to mine. I'm just praying that God will overrule my procrastination and it will be timed perfectly. That was a moment of fright for me. And I know myself well enough that if I don't act promptly, I'll procrastinate, and that may just extend into forgetfulness and disobedience. So don't procrastinate. If God tells you to get up in the morning and spend time with him, you get up in the morning and spend time with him. Don't put it off till the next day. If God says he wants you to go invite your neighbors and have a little Bible study, and maybe use those three questions and share with them what you learned the first night at least, then before you lose your nerve, you just pick up the phone and you call your neighbors and invite them to your home and tell them what you're going to do. I can remember 1973, going to Lausanne, Switzerland, to a congress of evangelism and hearing about how to evangelize the world. And I came back and thought, Anne, we have to have a congress like that because people like you aren't doing the job. And if people like me, at least in America, were witnessing to our neighbors, we would need a congress to tell us how to organize. We would just be doing it grassroots level. I felt so convicted because I hadn't shared the gospel with my neighbors. And before I could lose my nerve, I just picked up the phone and called them and invited them to my home. And they came for coffee, and then I procrastinated about an hour. I got so nervous, and we talked about babies and diets, and finally I said, you know, I've just invited you. I've got to tell you. And I did it so lamely, and it was so poorly done, and probably rudely because I was nervous, and I just bluntly laid it out there, and the neighbors that came, half of them just hit the door, and the other half stayed. But, you know, make a long story short, they all came into Bible study fellowship when we started it, and every single one was born again. Some of them now have fruitful ministries. And just act promptly. You need to hit the moment when God's telling you. He's going to tell you at a particular time when he knows things are ripe, and you have to do it promptly when he says. And Abraham not only was prompt, he was prepared. Verse 3, he had to saddle the donkey because he's an old man. He's 115 at least years of age at this point. It's a 30-mile journey, so he needs to saddle a donkey to make sure he can make the whole journey. And not only that, but he chopped the wood in case there were no trees on Mount Moriah. And he wanted to have wood for the sacrifice. And he took his servants to help him carry everything. Later it says he even took the fire and the knife. And of course he took Isaac. And he didn't leave any way of escape for himself. He could have taken everything, gotten to Mount Moriah, built the altar, put Isaac on the top and say, "Ah, what do you know? I forgot the knife." And he wouldn't have followed through. And I think when we don't follow through completely and really thoroughly prepare, it's because we're wanting to leave ourselves a little way of escape. Sort of like you in the morning, you decide to get up early in the morning for your quiet time, and you build your altar, and you get your books, and your Bible, and your pen, and your notebook, and everything's arranged right there so you can find it in the morning without having to search all over the house for it. And in the morning, you wake up, and it's at the last moment, and it's time to hit your day, and you look at your clock, and you say, "Oh, what do you know? I forgot to set the alarm." And God, you understand. And God understands. You just weren't prepared. So Abraham was thoroughly prepared. He left nothing to chance. And he looked at every detail and thought it through, and he prepared. And when you go home and you feel God is putting it on your heart to share his word, or maybe invite neighbors in for a prayer group or Bible study, you have to act promptly. But in between now and then, there is a time of preparation, which means you open your Bible, you're reading it, asking yourself, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? You can divide the facts and summarize the facts and get your aim, take it to the right side of the bow tie, and you're preparing for that time when God opens the door and gives you the opportunity. So there is a time of preparation. Even though Abraham knew he was to sacrifice, it took preparation, at least 3 days' journey to get to that place. And so God may be calling you to teach his word, but there may be a journey between here and there. I was a bride, actually, living in Chapel Hill, and my husband was working as a dentist all day long from early in the morning, late at night, and I took some odd jobs or short-term jobs, but for a lot of the time, I was just a stay-at-home wife. And I was lonely, and I was frustrated, and my very wise mother said, "Ann, this is your wilderness time. And there's coming a day when God's going to call you out. Don't waste your wilderness. And right now you start preparing for the day when God calls you out." And she challenged me to start reading and studying the scriptures. And so I did. I spent several hours a day doing that. But you know how I did it? And this is how foolish I was in the beginning. The way I studied the Bible, I read a passage and then I opened a commentary and read the commentary. I didn't know any better. But God was so good because he just took me right there. And at least I was in the scriptures and I was thinking about it, and I believe it was preparation for when he did call me out and put a class in front of me and give me opportunity to share his word. Nothing like studying the Bible for yourself, but at least it was something, and I wasn't wasting that time by myself in my home. So you may have a wilderness time coming up. The Apostle Paul had 3 years in the desert, and Moses had 40 years on the backside of the desert. And so there may be some wilderness set-aside time for you. Don't waste it. You be working on your three questions. You be working on the left side of the bow tie. You be working on the right. And when God calls you out and the door is open, otherwise he's going to open the door and you're going to say, "Oh my, he's opened the door and I don't know what to say. I don't have a message to give." And I'm praying that God will open doors when he knows the time is right. And of course, it's always sooner than we think we're ready. And that gets us out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? But he's going to open doors for you, and it may be just to share it with one person. Don't expect a great big crowd of people. Maybe it's when you visit your elderly parents in a rest facility and they can't quite comprehend, but maybe there's somebody who's living in the room next to them and that person can comprehend, and you just go share God's word with that one person. Maybe it's like Linda, somebody in the prison. And you know about it because your neighbor's son has just been placed there and you've gone to visit the son, and then it's opened your eyes to people who are incarcerated, and maybe God will open a door there. Maybe you play golf and at the club you see these women sitting around playing cards all day and you just think, "I wonder if they could have some time and study the Bible together." And just ask God to open your eyes to the fields that are white under harvest and the laborers are few. Open your eyes to the opportunities that are out there. He may not put it in handwriting on the wall. He may not strike you with lightning. You know, he may not have somebody actually come to you and say, "Would you do this?" You may have to open your eyes and see the opportunities. Or maybe he will make it real plain and somebody say, "You know, I've come to ask you to do such and such." And just be ready. Be prepared. And Abraham was prepared, and Abraham was persistent. In verse 4, it took 3 days to get there. And I can just imagine him putting one foot in front of the other. Must have been the longest 3 days of his life. You know, just because he had peace in his heart doesn't mean this is easy. This was the hardest thing Abraham had ever done. But he persisted until he got to where God wanted him to be. And when you study the Bible and you're trying to break open that passage of Scripture and you're trying to outline it and then get it to the right side of that bow tie, and will you be persistent one day after another until you get where God wants you to be? And even though you know or you sense that you've been quickened and you want to do it and God's called you to it, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It can be hard. God's will is not necessarily easy to carry out. It can be hard. Don't think that the struggle means you're not in God's will. Don't mean when you struggle with it that you're not doing the right thing. I'm sure Abram struggled, but he persisted. And I see his persistence, I see his patience. Because at the end of one day, he still hadn't arrived. And he walked all day the second day, and he still hadn't arrived. And he walked all day the third day, and he still hadn't arrived. And Abraham had to keep on going until he arrived where God wanted him to be. And he had to be patient until he came to that place. And there was no blessing, there was no encouragement, just one foot in front of the other. And when you get up in the morning to read your paragraph of Scripture and ask yourself what it says, what it means to you, and nothing meaningful pops out. And so Tuesday morning, you set your alarm, you get up early, you read your paragraph, you ask what it says, what it means to me, and nothing meaningful comes out. And you get up on Wednesday morning and you read your paragraph of Scripture and you ask yourself, what does it say, mean to me? And it's not meaningful. And Thursday morning, when the alarm goes off, you just reach over and shut it off and say, you know, I'm not doing this. Be patient and persistent until you get to the place God wants you to be. That may be a test of your resolve to be consistent and committed to spend time with him, available to listen to his voice. And who knows, but Thursday morning is a morning it's just going to all break loose. And he'll speak to you in a way that you would have missed if you hadn't been patient and persistent. Abraham made the choice to obey, and he followed through with a commitment. Would you do the same to make sure that you follow through? Abraham followed through. He sacrificed everything willingly, obediently, and then confidently. And I see his confidence in God's person in verse 5, because he says, we will go to worship. And worship is worth-ship, attributing worth to God. And God, because of who you are, I'm going to lay everything down before you. God, I wouldn't do this for anybody else. You better believe that. I would never sacrifice my son. I would never give up my ministry. I would never lay myself down in service for anyone except you, God. But my sacrifice is an act of worship. And I see Abraham's confidence in God's person because he had been walking with God now for 40 years. And Abraham had come to know God. And he knew God's sufficiency to supply his need day in, day out for 40 years. And he knew God's mercy to save him when he had repeatedly failed down in Egypt and with Abimelech. And he knew God's grace to bless him in spite of his failure in Egypt and with Abimelech and with Hagar. And he knew God's love to be his shield and his reward and his friend. And he knew God's goodness to give him the very desire of his heart. Oh, he knew God. What's your opinion of God? What do you think God is like? Do you have confidence in his person? Or are you deep down afraid he might be like the legalistic pastor you had when you were growing up, or an abusive father, or an overbearing spouse? And God is not like your pastor, and he's not like your father, and he's not like your spouse. There is no one like God. And you get to know him through the pages of your Bible. And you need to get to know God as he is, that you might have confidence and faith in him and him alone. You'll never trust him with your Isaac. You'll never lay your life down. You'll never give him that most precious possession if you don't have confidence in who he is. And Abraham was totally confident in who God is. Hebrews says in chapter 11, verse 6, you must believe that he is as he is revealed in Scripture. Not as somebody says he might be or somebody thinks he might be or the way you were taught when you were raised, which might be all wrong for all I know. God is as he has revealed himself through his word, and he is exactly as he has revealed himself through Jesus. You want to know what God is like? You just look at Jesus. And Abraham was confident in God's person. He was confident in God's promise. And I'm reading into this also a little bit, but God had promised Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. And God had given him Isaac. And God had also said that through this seed, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And one of your descendants will be one through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham was totally confident that God would keep his promise because God had sworn by himself and he had walked through those pieces of that sacrifice. And he said, Abraham, you can know that you know that you know I'm going to fulfill my promise because I swear by myself. And Abraham was totally confident in the promise of God that God had given him a son, and his son wasn't married. You understand? So he didn't have any grandchildren. There were no descendants, not even some that were as numerous as the Milky Way or something. No descendants after Isaac at all. And so he was confident when he went up to sacrifice Isaac that somehow God was going to keep his promise. And not only was he confident in God's promise, but he was confident in God's power. Look at this, and this is where I also see the confidence in his promise. Verse 5, when he told the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. And then, look at this, we will come back. Abraham, have you misunderstood? Are you not thinking clearly? You're going to go up on Mount Moriah. You're going to gather the stones. You're going to put the wood on the top. You're going to strap Isaac down. You're going to take the knife. You're going to kill your son. You're going to offer him as a burnt offering. How can you say you and the boy are going to come back? What are you thinking? And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 tells us exactly what Abraham was thinking. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. So right there I see Abraham's confidence in God's promise. Then look at this. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Whoa. Now that's confidence. Confidence in God's person, in God's promise, in God's power.
Now here's Anne with this final word.
Do you lack that same confidence in God? Why? Because you doubt he is really good, and you doubt his goodness because he's allowed you to have crises, problems, challenges, pressure, pain. Could God be testing you? I've discovered God knows exactly when and how to test me, but he's assured me he will never give me a test or temptation greater than I can bear, although he does give me tests that I think are greater than I can bear. That's what makes them a test. God speaks today, as he spoke to Abraham, personally, in the language of our lives at any given moment in time. But you and I have to be available and willing to hear what he has to say. In Genesis 22:1, when God called Abraham by name, Abraham replied, here I am. Are you available and willing to hear God's voice? What does he want to say to you that you've yet to hear because you're afraid of what he might say? If Abraham had refused to listen to God's voice for whatever reason, he would not have passed the final test. He wouldn't even have known what it was, and he would then have missed out on the fullness of all God wanted to give him. Don't miss the blessing God has for you by being too busy, or too worried, or too sleepy, or too distracted, or too afraid to listen. God is good. You will never lose out by giving him what he wants.
Living in the Light is a weekly study in God's Word with teacher and author Anne Graham Lotz. Learn to listen to his voice, then start making the choice to keep on going and believing and trusting who God is. Go to annegrahamlotz.org. Take advantage of the many helpful free resources to get you started. Don't procrastinate. Join us again for Living in the Light.